I'm happily speaking together with this just magnificent music, which we're going to hear for the last time this year, and we'll hear more in the next year. I like to begin this program on a very delightful note, which indeed just transpired between ourselves, meaning myself, Lina Mirmond, your host, and my co-host, Julian Lampert. And we just had a moment of a wonderfully warming dialogue with the BBS radio engineer and co-owner, Doug Nissen, and his brother in spirit, Don. And I think I made a mistake because my son is correcting me. He said that we indeed been speaking with Don, not the dog. But this is a very... Oh, my son said that I was right for the first time. Anyhow, the point of the story is that these two brothers certainly created a joint enterprise which broke its borders to the most interesting places in the world. And the fact that we can continue our broadcasting, including myself and many other hosts, for such a fantastic opportunity, having this broadcast and just any subject ideas and a concept we choose to express, making us all feel truly privileged. And I like also to comment on the fact that I never will stop to appreciate the fact that even though we are living in this digital, computerized society, and I call it a mannerism, this wonderful station, BBS, still has this happy harmony where human voice, human ideas, human energy is supported by this digital technology. And that's why we, I guess, continue gravitating to this station with our devotion and with our joy. I wanted to thank BBS AR family, as Julian Lampert put it in a very lovely way, and also wish them to continue having this inspiration, to continue having this patience for all our temperamental curves, and the mostly important, continue to support this incredibly important stream of news, information, music, and helping us to open doors to the new world of thoughts and knowledge. And that, I guess, gives me a kind and natural shift to my reflections and recollections of rapidly leaving us year with certainly tremendously memorable events. And to be fair, I will in advance apologizing because I feel that it is an overwhelming mission on my part to create a proportion between memorable events on a positive note and on a positive energy with events which truly created unerasable marks in our minds and souls. I, however, will try to be somewhat balanced and to be wise, to bring out many beautiful events which occurred in the world and personally and professionally in my life. But I also must realize that there is very hard to find a balance, because it's undoubtedly we have very sad and dramatic ending of this year because of this horrific evil murder of 20 children and 6 adults at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. The words obviously cannot even come close to express one's despair. And I only will try in my very modest right to extend deepest condolences and express my personal responsibility to help and support those families who would need all our memories, thoughts, love, and inspiration. I like to have some music honoring this event, this beautiful children who prematurely left our world, honor the teachers and the 6 adults whose bravery is unmeasurable and whose role will be certainly continue and develop in another level by their colleagues and other adults, parents, and member of the families who certainly now feel tremendous sadness and pressure of their own emotions. After this piece of music, we will continue with our program. And now, please have your own recollections with the company of this piece of music. Music by Julian Lampert, who in his own musical rights expressed, and I would say made my own words that much deeper and more meaningful. Every event in life, even most dramatic and tragic, has its own energy and impulse for us to grow, to learn, to become more powerful, and to become freer inside, Yes, that's exactly what I meant, free inside. Because freedom is the result. It cannot exist in itself. It's a result of our human knowledge. It is devotion to our cultural roots. And it is certainly tremendous appreciation of your own personal roots, which is your family. And what particularly shook me as a result of this tragedy, that people finally became much more aware of the fact that they owe to their families their connections, their devotion, and that it is a time to conquer somewhat certain emotional deafness which we developed over the last decade. And this is not a condemnation. It's just a reality. Certainly our lives became more complex, much more dynamic, much more multitask, much more out of our skin situations, many other circumstances which we were struggling to deal with. And yet we have to realize that the most powerful instinct, it's instinct of being together with your family. For good or difficult, for joy or sadness, these roots are there, and they, I would believe, needs to be renourished. And then bring something to talk about several important events which made, in fact, our year very, very, very memorable from another angle, where family efforts brought tremendous triumph. And one of the example is tremendous victory on the part of U.S. Olympians in last summer in London, where U.S. won 46 gold medals. And without going into long list of names, one thing I have to say what moved me tremendously is the fact that most of those young people indeed had support of their family. Not necessarily monetary-wise, but in mental and human sense. So the victory was not just as an unexpected and sudden surprise. Of course, it was not guaranteed, but there was certainly very strong core where these young people experiencing bravery and over-challenged themselves. But they certainly came from profoundly rooted family traditions. There was another wonderful event, which I believed also had sense and family energy. And I'm talking about this highly successful Peachtree City International Festival and Rotary Dragon boat races at the Drake Field with estimated attendance of 5,000 people. And that was so exciting and so incredibly powerful, where people could truly share the joy in a such a colossal scale. I just mentioned a few events which I particularly enjoyed. If we go into a little smaller scale, but just as meaningful, I would certainly remember certain cultural events which took place at the various symphony halls in the country with remarkable performances of some classical musicians, some jazz musicians. And I would say that my personal hope is that there will be more balance between DJ artists with a live, old-fashioned, classical and jazz performances. I believe that it is certainly commercially more profitable to have DJ, and everyone loves them. But we cannot just drown in one form of musical and artistic expression. And we also cannot neglect something which our human world was started, and that was a human voice, that was a humanly made instruments. And I believe that perhaps we went to certain extreme where electronics took place of humanity, but I see some happy signs where we're going back, because I believe if we just shift into the electronics, we will go backwards. But if we will go just slightly back to natural sound and merge this with electronic, then I think it will be much happier situation for our emotions and for our human perception. I would ask my co-host Julian Lampert to play a piece of his choice where indeed he's playing on the keyboard, but he composed on a real piano. And I like for him to express this invisible harmony where we all also will feel that it is not just effective electronic sound, but it has a soul of a musician who can certainly take it only from the real piano. Julian, maybe you can say a few words about the piece which you're going to play, and either agree or disagree with me, but just have your words, because after all, you are a composer and I'm just a consumer.
No, I think you're a little bit more than a consumer. I'm actually a consumer too. I'm just going to play a musical reflection of how I felt about this year, keeping in mind the words that you expressed, and I won't say much more about it, and I'll come to the piano here and share my thoughts with music. Thank you.
Be very frank, our guests here who are celebrating with us Christmas in a wonderful sense of suspension. I'm not sure they want me to talk. I'm sure they want more music, and we certainly will do so after a few recollections. But coming back to music, you did not give the name to your piece. While listening to you, I felt I would like to call it as a human dissonance. Is that something over the line, or that's something close to it? Talk a little bit about that richness.
Yes, there was a lot of dissonance there. Oh, dropped the microphone here slightly. Yes, there was a lot of dissonance because we, for those of you who don't know what dissonance is the thing in music that makes sounds sound tense and not quite as smooth as what happens in the opposite of dissonance, which is consonance. Consonance is the very pleasing kind of final, very settled feeling that we have in music. So we can say that music is a balance, or we should say good, any good song or good piece of music has a balance between consonance and dissonance. It's kind of like a muscle which contracts and relaxes. So we can say that consonance is when music relaxes and dissonance is when music contracts. So, yes, because of the events, very tragic events of just a few weeks ago, my heart is still very heavy about it, and perhaps you heard it in the harmonic tensions which were in my improvisation just now. However, frankly, I also wasn't really that much aware of what I was doing. I played in stream of consciousness, at least I try to, and that's what that's the beauty of improvisation. And we try to achieve that when we're speaking through words in our daily human interactions. And the other thing which I hoped I conveyed in my improvisation was that this year was really about these incredibly, I would say, violent contrasts between, as you said, Lena, the triumphs of the Olympic Games and the tragedy that we had in Newtown just recently. It's really quite extraordinary how extreme the human experience is, the ranges of experience that we have, and it's a very difficult thing to convey in words, but much easier to do so through music. And I would just hope that for the next year, we achieve much, much greater awareness and a greater common sense, for sure. We really need much more common sense, and especially now that we have the security of knowing who our president is going to be for the next 4 years, we can, even as economically uncertain as things are, the political situation is a little bit easier, knowing that we're going to have knowing who our president is going to be. And I just hope that we have learned the lessons of this year enough that we will be able to prevent and avoid problems which are really perfectly preventable, and continue the modest economic growth that we did manage to achieve. And I'm frankly looking forward to a very, very fruitful year of 2013, with a lot of music, a lot of productive activity, and I hope that we make the very best of these last remaining few days of this year to make a meaningful transition into the new year.
How much musicians are freer? Look, just inside a few minutes, we traveled from most wonderful intimacy of music, had a little tips of knowledge there, and then we covered already economy, politics, just a wonderful in one breath observation. Julian, I had a very tactful question, if you do not mind, to come back to music. There was quite amazement, because what you just did was an improvisation, yet someone said it was just an absolutely finished piece. The question is that, how much different do you feel when you play a music composition by a certain composer and when you play your own music?
That's a very deep question and a very difficult one to answer. There, I would say it's a two-part answer. The first part is that you have to make whatever music you play your own. So whether you play a Beethoven sonata or you're playing your own improvisation, those two things are actually exactly the same at the end of the day when all is said and done, because you're still recreating the moment as that moment occurs. And we have a sonata of Beethoven or a song by Michael Jackson fixed on paper. On the one hand, it's fixed on paper, but on the other hand, the song or the piece is only as good as how it's performed, and it's only as good as how we hear it. So the way music is recreated plays a huge difference. And so to come back to the two-part answer, if you're playing a piece by Beethoven or a song by the Beatles, you have a certain feeling, an awareness that you're playing music that was not written by you. And that maybe causes a little bit of tension, a little bit of a sense of responsibility to do some justice to what you're investing into a melody that was not created by you. But the second part of that answer, on the other hand, since you are performing it and since the listeners are experiencing that piece of music through your hands, and you're acting really as a bridge between the music and your listeners, you're really, again, you're recreating whatever it is that you're playing. And it doesn't matter whether it's by Beethoven or a song by the Rolling Stones. The spontaneity, the burst of inspiration. Hopefully, there's a lot of inspiration. The great feelings and reactions and smiles and the tears from the audience will only happen if you are just as much inspired. So definitely the goal is, and not just in music, and anything that we read or anything that we say, as much as possible, we have to own. We need to own what we are expressing, because if we own it, then we truly feel it to be a part of our system, whether we created it or not, and we really help make our world a much, much better place.
Well, we had a fantastic journey. Thank you for that trying to find find the words of internal process. That's not completely what I wanted to say, but close to this. You've been singing your words and singing through the process. And now everyone is dying to see a little bit of a demonstration. Can you take any well-known theme, some Beatles song, which we all know, and then maybe you can travel to a little bit of a baroque, and then have your own free world end up in total Lambert's liberation. So we have a three-part suite, and Julian is having a very polite smile, and we are extraordinarily excited to hear that. So we will have something well-known on the one part. We will have a little departure to perhaps Renaissance epoch in the second part, and the climax will be total Julian Lambert's, as I said, liberation at his own complete rights.
But let's give it a try. Thank you.
be very presumptuous, but I think Beatles, if would not love it, but certainly will have a new breath of fresh air. That was certainly such a fantastic joy and proved exactly what you said, because you traveled through three epochs inside of just a few seconds. You gave a fair introduction, then we went all the way to the Renaissance with a little touch of fugato, strata, polyphony, whatever fancy technical terms means. And then it was very modern, again, coming back to this combination of dissonance and consonance, harmonic progressions with just a bursting wonderful emotions. Music is such a kind complexity, I call it. And I cannot imagine a better ending of our programs this year with deep thanks to my listeners. I hope I created enough controversy for you to come back. I hope I create enough interest to also come back. I hope that we answered some of your strong concerns, because after all, we had brilliant guests, not only doctors, but some historians and politicians. I hope that you will certainly prepare for the next two interesting shows, which I have in January 8th and January 22nd. January 8th, we will have very insightful program regarding human psychology, education, and interaction between different generations. And on 22nd, I will have just a special reunion with two cardiologists who've been already on our show, and they will be together this time, so we will be talking about heart-to-heart issues. Just to mention few, and coming back to the conclusion, I wanted again to thank very warmly and very deeply my co-host, partner, friend, and a teacher. And yes, that's exactly right. I'm now learning from my son, and that is my parental triumph, who was co-conductor to these shows, and who is going to surprise us with more of his own shows in the next year, with his music, with his coming up another album, and also again to conclude by thanking BBS brothers and the family who gave us this invitation to be on the air and hosting our programs. I will wish you Merry Christmas, a few last days of recollections. Have a wonderful, memorable glass of champagne, and with this new energy, hopes and dreams, enter a new year. I'm joining the crowd, and my warmest thank you and gratitude to all of you around the world. That was your final edition of Lena Live. I'm Lena Mirmont. Until very, very soon. Thank you.